talk today, you know, I wanted to talk today about omnichannel, and I wanted to talk today about what omnichannel means to Walmart. And Eric, I'll let you take this one first.
Well, what it means to Walmart. So I had the honor, by the way, to go interview Kara Russo, who's the VP and head of marketing for Walmart Connect. And I got that so memorized.
Because you did good. Interview. Yeah.
And, you know,
it's a great interview. If you haven't seen that, you should watch that too.
Yeah, you should watch that. It's on Essential Digital Commerce's channel. But it was awesome because I got to hear her perspective of, I asked that exact question. And basically, it comes down to a seamless experience for the shopper. And what she pointed out some pretty interesting things, you know, that I got them written. I got them here.
Oh, that's good.
I'm a little prepared.
That's exciting.
She mentioned that she, you know, from Walmart's data, since the pandemic, almost 70% of Walmart shoppers said they have accelerated and diversified the channels in which they shop. And then she went on to say that industry data shows that 72% of purchases still happen in store across all retail. Right. So you follow me, Brooke?
I'm following you. I'm with you.
Okay. But then she says, however, Walmart has found that over 50% of Walmart shoppers go online first to research products before transacting in store. And so as we had that conversation, it became, you know, about you have shoppers that are diversifying their shopping behaviors, how they're transacting, and that they're making most of the purchases in store. However, half of those shoppers that are buying in store are actually researching online before they make a purchase, which is a huge deal. It's a huge deal.
And so it's like across all categories, bananas to TVs.
I guess so. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm assuming so, but I mean, all shoppers. So, I mean, it's, you know, what that's demonstrating to us is that, you know, what omnichannel really means is that the shopper can kind of really go online. They can get pickup. They can have drones delivering products to their house. They can go in store. They can buy straight from Walmart.com. Doesn't really matter. And so where Walmart's trying to do is trying to meet them at that crossroads of where the shopper's wanting to buy their products however they want. And so when we think of omnichannel at Walmart, we have to think more than just brick and mortar. We have to think more than just .com. They're not two siloed places. They're all converging and coming together, just like an experience for the shopper. It's all coming together. Doesn't really matter. And Doug McMillon has said many times, many years ago, that time is just as valuable, if not more of a valuable than currency, than money itself.
He would know
shoppers.
That.
He would
as someone
know.
That's probably pulled in a million different directions.
Probably so. I would say so. And so, I mean, you know, when he mentioned that, I mean, I really latched on to that personally. I thought that was a pretty big quote, right? And since we've been involved in Walmart with the Walmart Connected Content Partner Program since 2015, we really have seen that Walmart is taking Walmart to an omnichannel experience, and they're really leading the charge for that, and we give them kudos for that effort. So that's what Walmart, I believe, what omnichannel is to Walmart.
That's exciting. And Paul, you used to work at Walmart, right? What did you do when you worked at Walmart?
That's true. I was a merchant, actually a .com merchant specifically, back when those existed, over floor care. So vacuum salesman.
Everybody's favorite.
Floor sales?
Floor care is the name of the category, but it's basically vacuums.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Yeah. Well, so I just want to talk to you about when we're doing this omnichannel initiative, what Walmart's doing it, digital, it means a lot. And so content always comes into play when we're having that conversation. So, Paul, as a former merchant, do you think good content helps increase conversions?
I don't think that. I know that.
Ooh.
I don't think that's a big secret in the e-commerce industry, right? Like everyone knows if you want people to buy this product, you need to alleviate doubt. You need to have them understand what they're purchasing, and you need to, you know, look better than your competitors. So I think when it first started out, it was very much just more descriptive, like make sure people understand what they're going to get and it's what they expect. Now that's sort of like table stakes. You got to be doing that just to have a shot. And it's much more moved to, how do you be best in class? How do you make people feel good about this product? How do you tie in your national marketing campaigns and kind of all the nuances that come along with that?
That's awesome. Eric, what do you think? Do you know good content increases conversion?
Absolutely no, 100%. I mean, it can be as simple. I think we can all, I remember not too long ago, we could not use subjective experiences as a point of data when having a conversation, but I believe my opinion is that we actually can nowadays because it's just so intermixed, right? I mean, everybody has their own way, but we can all attest that since we have these little goofy computers in our back pocket, front pocket, or in our face every day, all day, you know, we have access to all the information in the world that we need 24/7. And so just like the stat that Kara was given about 50% of shoppers, you know, if you're in store trying to buy a product, and there's not enough information, you can't really tear a box open and start looking inside and dissecting it. I mean, you could, but you probably shouldn't.
Probably shouldn't.
And also it'd take you longer than just going online to walmart.com, go into that product detail page. Hopefully there's videos. Hopefully there's more description. There's specifications. There's comparison tables. There's PDF documents. There's all kinds of stuff and images of the product inside, detailed shots, lifestyle shots. All those types of pieces of information that can help me at that very moment say, hey, you know what? This is actually the product that I'm looking for. I want a dishwasher that can cook a freaking lobster.
Yeah, because why not? Well,
I've been looking for it. Yeah. But I mean, it's a perfect example because you just can't, you know, never before has there ever been an opportunity for brands to really tell their brand story. And it's amazing how little of those stories that we're actually able to see on the PDPs specifically for in-store brands or in-store products where they can tell that story like they never have been able to do before. Consider it an extension of your packaging. You know, I mean, you actually can extend your aisle on .com as well by providing, you know, other products within your portfolio that where shoppers might like. So, I mean, the opportunity is there to really give that. And so therefore, if a shopper is looking for more information, they expect it. If at any point I want to learn more about anything on the planet, the first thing I do is go on my phone.
Anything on the planet?
Earth.
Dr. Google.
Yeah, I can go and I can find out anything that I want to find out, you know? And so therefore we have to make sure we're meeting them in that space. And if you do provide that information, then you do increase the conversion, the likelihood of somebody buying that product. Period.
One of the things I wanted to talk about is just kind of like, why is it so difficult to explain the importance of omnichannel and why is it so difficult to explain that the digital shelf is really important, is just as important as the in-store shelf? Why is that so difficult to explain to suppliers?
So I'll take a shot out at Paul first.
I have a take on this as well, so I'm curious to hear what you
said. I don't know that it's so difficult to explain. I think all the brands and all the suppliers really understand that this is happening, right? I mean, 5 years ago, before the pickup lanes came and all that other stuff started happening, it was a little bit hard to tangibly see. And just as human beings, and especially in the business industry, we want to make sure that things are actually there before we start buying it. If you think about a Tesla, I mean, there's no way in the world that a car could be really high performance and be a great
park
vehicle
itself.
if it's electrical. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way that's possible. I mean, there's all kinds of naysayers, but now that Tesla's came out and they're doing what they're doing, everybody's like, oh yeah, I mean, for sure, everybody jumps aboard. Same thing that's happened with omnichannel, but until it became really real as what Walmart has achieved so far, I think it's now the suppliers get it and they understand that this is happening. The problem is that there's just, you know, what are the priorities? Like how do you as a brand go about successfully engaging in omnichannel retail with an omnichannel shopper in an omnichannel environment? I mean, that's a hard decision, right? And there's just a thousand ways that one could think that they could go. And so I think it's really about simplifying this complexity. And, you know, with all the technological advances, the opportunities to really promote all those types of things, you know, there are some central pieces that where you have to kind of lay the foundation first. And I got some analogies, by the way, I'm going to share with you in a minute that I wrote down that I'm in preparation.
Oh, that's exciting.
But I wanted Paul to give his perspective. Paul,
what are your thoughts?
I have similar thoughts. I look at it as, I think it's difficult sometimes for folks to engage with Omni, not because they don't want to, more because they understand the in-store side so well.
Yeah.
And more important than that, they understand what the levers are and what they're going to do and what's important to drive in that business. And so it's very actionable. So if they're looking from quarter to quarter, from month to month, from year to year, of what can I do to grow my business, that's a very well understood space. They know what they should be doing. And so even if someone's in their ear chattering the whole time, like omnichannel, 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 if they don't understand what are the levers in that space that then, you know, correlate to driving more sales, winning more share, having a better experience, then it's difficult to engage with. It's like something that it's kind of coming off almost as like a thought piece. And they're like, oh, that's super cool. It's like super in the future. And they don't see it as something that's super relevant to their present and to their business because they don't understand, okay, what can that do for me?
You know, I'd have to echo the fact that there's a delay, right? I might hear, just like what Paul's saying, omnichannel does not allow for any delays. It's always urgent. I mean, if you look at what Walmart has done to react to omnichannel, I mean, if you really want to know how to play in omnichannel, just look at what Walmart's doing. They're constantly adapting and evolving, bringing out new stuff, testing new things, and they're meeting the customer where they're at. Brands need to do the same thing. And one of the challenges that I see with being fruitful in the omnichannel environment as a brand is just the inability to have really quick turn and urgency towards these things. Because like what Paul is saying is it's right now. Like you, every second that you don't have the right product information and the content according to your product is a second that you're losing sales and losing visibility and losing conversion for the shopper. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's not going to be any easier 3 months, 6 months from now. So you just kind of have to jump in and start getting at it, you know, and making sure you're playing ball.
Mm-hmm. Is now the time? Is it just because it's less competitive now? Or is it just...
The time was 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Time was 4 years.
Maybe eight.
Maybe, yeah. And I would say that it's not that it's going to become more competitive, although that's part of the story. But if you look at the catalog today, as omnichannel continues to accelerate and as Walmart gets even closer and closer to the shopper, that catalog that Walmart has is going to continue to expand. It's going to have more requirements, right? Like right now we know that gluten-free, keto, and all these other types of dietary things are going on, right? Or nut allergies, whatever it might be. But there will be more, right? And so if you can imagine if I have a food product that can meet one of those, but I don't specify that in every single product that I have in great detail with accuracy, and I'm missing the keto diet, well, I'm missing visibility on that. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not doing the same thing for paleo, I'm missing that. You know, or gluten-free, whatever those things are. But then as the next one comes around, and as they often do, because we live in a very social-infused environment where things constantly change and behaviors change as well as technology, then that's even more for me to catch up. And so it's really about the task becoming even more daunting the longer that you wait. It's going to become more cumbersome and complex. Just like Paul was saying, a lot of folks are really good at store, right? And they're really good at digital on other channels, but Walmart's going to require all of those together, and it's going to be greater than pureplay.coms because pureplay.coms don't have the influence with a store. You have to, there will be a time when you have robots picking products off the shelf and putting them in baskets for pickup and deliveries. Mm-hmm. That robot has to know exactly where to go and exactly, you know, and there will be a time when shoppers are going, I want, you know, 10 snacks, 5 meals that are all gluten-free, and I'm going to let Walmart pick them for me. There will be a robot that goes, I understand what you're asking, and it goes and finds in the aisles, and it'll grab those things robotically with algorithms, and it'll put them in the basket, and it'll be drone to your house.
Yeah,
you won't have to move a muscle. That's another layer of complexity that if you're not a supplier and you don't have all the stuff that you could have in 2022, and at 2025, those things, you're going to be missing opportunities in sales.
Well, that is terrifying. Luckily.
Or it's a great opportunity, right, Paul?
Exactly. Luckily.
Or it's a great opportunity. I want to circle back, Eric, to a thing you said about, like, there's pure.com.
Yep.
There's pure in-store, which is, you know, most in-store retailers are more or less pure in-store at this point. And then omnichannel, which is, in my mind, really Walmart's the only people doing it, like really going after it. Everyone else is sort of dipping their toes in and seeing what happens.
Yep.
And there's a difference in that fusion, right? Because when you're doing the pure online, it's like, okay, I know exactly where the shopper journey is starting. I know how they're checking out. I know all of that. When you're in store, like I said before, that's you know, not a solved game, but it's been so much time and energy has been put into understanding that it's well understood. You look at Omni and what you were talking about that you got out of your conversation with the Walmart executive previously, where 50% of shopper journeys are starting online. And I think that's like the highlight to me there is if you're not putting your best foot forward online, if you're not visible in search, if once they get to that page, they don't like what they see, that's 50% of your shoppers now who you're getting outcompeted on. So you might have put all of this time in the last, you know, potentially decades into growing this incredible brand and this incredible presence across all these in-store retailers. But all of a sudden, the shopper's behavior has changed. They're not walking up to that shelf thinking, what am I going to buy? They're going to that shelf being routed off their phone thinking, I'm going to buy this, and this is where I need to go to get it. And I think that's totally different, and that's so important to making sure these businesses are thriving and growing penetration, understanding that that shopper journey has changed, and it's changed pretty radically, and it's changed to include PDPs and search experiences online.
That's a good point. If you're a super brand and Walmart is important to your business, I would encourage the following. We recognize we've heard of Walmart, right?
Yeah.
We think of it. We thought about them as being brick and mortar, the world's largest
little mom and pop operation, right?
Little mom.
Yeah, just a little.
But we think about we know Walmart, brick and mortar, in store, right? I mean, we don't think that, but most folks can. They dominate the brick and mortar. Then have we heard of Amazon?
Yeah, you got.
Okay.
Might have heard of them.
They kind of have dominated the digital. So we all know what e-commerce is, right? Two different types of retail. But we can definitely see that there is a difference between brick and mortar to e-commerce. What we have to have in our mind, and what I would do if I was a brand, is I would say, hey, there is a new retail here. It's called omnichannel. And it's not one or the other or both combined. It is new retail. Think of algorithms shopping for your customers. Like in the next 1 week.
Say
there's going to be a robot that's going to be picking my items from store. I have zero control of it. And somebody's going to say, I want gluten-free food. And it has they're not picking brands. They're not picking anything else. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are a little bit, but they're really relying on the retailer to procure the items for their desires and wishes. I would give anything if I could just say, hey, I want the best, ice cream that's dairy-free. And just tell Walmart that, and I get it dropped off my house in about 5 minutes.
That's how I search. I'm doing product discovery on Google, I know they've seen that this is a rise in search trends. People typing in like best ice cream. That's how they're searching. They don't want give me 50 ice creams and I'll pick. Yeah. They say, tell me the best three ice creams and I'll pick the one I like out of that. So you're right, Ari. It's reasonable to assume that's the direction all these retail shopper journeys are going to go as well.
The search engines make our life easier. That's why they do so well. Mm-hmm. That's why Google has done so well, because it has built a good search engine that gets rid of the junk, and it makes scouring millions and millions of pages and content, and it simplifies and it gives you the top result in the top two and top three of those, of which we all know 70% of anybody that's going on Google is looking at those top three. The rest of them is discarded.
Yep.
Because if I wanted to know all that information in the world, I would click to the next page, to the next. No one goes off page one of Google because it just doesn't help me. That's what omnichannel is. It's like, make my life easier. I have zero time because I'm overwhelmed with all the information and all my family texting me and all my staff slacking me. I
don't
have time to think and research. I want the robot to do it for me, and I trust the robot because it's looking at all these things. But if you don't have your product information in there, basically you're just canceling out the decision maker, which is the robot.
We don't want to do that. So it can be a little overwhelming at times. It can be kind of terrifying. And so for the people that are kind of overwhelmed or maybe having some issues with this, how do we make it easier? How do we make it easier for brands to get their catalog omni ready by helping with digital content? Paul, how do we help?
Yeah, so this kind of brings us to one of our, it's probably our newest service offering. Would you say that still the case, Eric? I don't think we have anything newer.
Yep.
Yeah,
so.
Totally.
Yeah, so our newest thing right now, we're super excited about. It's called Content Excellence Program. Basically, the goal we kind of started out with was, how do we make, you know, people throw the word turnkey solution around, but we were like, no, seriously, like, how do we make something where you sign up for this, we understand the problem, we understand where we got to go, we just go do it, we get it fixed, there's as little pain as possible in everybody, and then we stay on top of it and make sure your assortment is going, is cooking, and all your content is great, it's staying where you want it to be. The way we do that is really a combination of tech plus just human horsepower. But we've had some really good success getting some really big catalogs from some premier brands. We go in, we'll work and make sure that all of their content is both complete and matches kind of what they have going on for their national programs. A lot of them produce really, really good content, and sometimes they can fall down actually getting it to the page, but it's out there. And then almost more important than that, I wouldn't say more important, but let's call it equally as important, goes to what Eric was talking about robots are making decisions now. And that's all the attribution work that we do. So we'll run through every item in every product type and fully attribute them in all the systems that exist, really, to make sure the robots understand what they are, right? So that's another big thing that I think has been difficult with this kind of omni emergence, and even with e-com, is understanding that, like, hey, there's, you know, a human being looks at this picture, they know they're trying to buy some shampoo. But a robot looks at it, unless you said, okay, it's in a bottle and it's a liquid and it's used for cleaning and it's like all these other shampoo products, it doesn't know it's a shampoo, even though you got pictures of it. So we've been solving that problem as well, and we've seen some really strong results so far. A lot of good feedback, which we're happy about.
That's exciting. Do you have anything to add, Eric?
Yeah. I think that what Paul was talking about, so here's what have done. I mean, honestly, like, being in business for so long, you know, for my career at least, you know, a lot of times people forget about the fundamental rules of business. You provide a service and you render that service first, right? And so business is just all about finding out what a market need is. All what we did was recognize how absolutely complex and daunting, frustrating, stressful, and time-consuming getting your catalog excellent to an omni-channel retailer's catalog requirements. That's basically it. You know, so when a brand engages with us in the service, we're basically there as experts and have already gone through about 1,000 or hundreds of thousands of failures. I'll be honest with you, right? I mean, just like what any brand would be faced with, like, what are the failures? What attributes go here? Which ones don't? How do you publish? How does it syndicate? How does it do all that? What's the new style guide? Is this the right score? Why is the score not matching up? All these things. And we take all that burden off the supplier and the brand so they can kind of continue on and work with their merchants to have bigger and greater strategies. And it's the same thing for the merchants at Walmart, right? The merchants are professional procurement, you know, representatives for the world's largest retailer to find the best products to go in store that people want, that shoppers want. They're not supposed to, they're not there to go into a catalog and fix attributes and content on behalf of brands just to make the catalog work a little bit better. It's a daunting task on both sides. And so we come in the middle and we help all parties out. And it's through what Paul was talking about. We have a tech that we've been working on for a long time, SKU Ninja, that we have been developing out for many, many years, specifically dedicated to Walmart and its catalog. Plus, we have experts that have been there since day one, since the Connected Content Partner Program, and even before, understanding optimization, how the robots work, how conversion happens on digital experiences. And plus, you have folks like Paul who have worked as merchants at Walmart to understand the pain points. We take all that together in this big old bucket and smush it down into CEP.
CEP, yeah. <You know? laughs> We'll just do it for you.
Hit the button.
Yeah,
yeah, just hit the easy button, right? That's all we're trying to, you know, that's all we want to do. And I mean, it can be a frustrating, daunting, just like you said, intimidating environment. I mean, honestly, if I was a brand, I mean, faced with the omnichannel new retail, I would be intimidated as well, because there's, I have such a responsibility for store, or I have such a responsibility for .com, and now you got this omnichannel, there's all these things flying at you and all these opportunities. What do you do first? Well, the answer, and this is where my analogies come in.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Them. Yeah. So when you think about omnichannel and you don't think about content and attributes, all right, Paul, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
That's like Michael Jordan not working on dribbling or shooting free throws.
He's just doing everything else.
He's just doing everything else.
He's just selling Air Jordans.
That's what we, yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's hard to do if you don't know how to dribble and shoot free throws. It's like a, it's like building a rocket to send to space, but you don't have any fuel.
Did you come up with these yourself?
I did. Okay. They're terrible. All right. It's like trying to publish a book without writing.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're, what happens.
That's a coloring book.
Yes.
FYI.
And so my analogy is, it's so hard to talk about this subject because it's so big. But what I'm trying to convey is that content is the fundamental core. If I was a brand, there are 1,000 different ways I could go for omnichannel, and I'm getting distracted by every single thing that's being flown at me, especially from third-party folks just like us, knocking on doors and soliciting. But the reality is that, in, like Jordan, if you're not working on your fundamentals, you're not going to be great, because you'll be faking and shaking. It'll be smoke and mirrors, and the foundation will start collapsing. And so if you just take your catalog, if I got 1,000 items at Walmart, I make sure that every single one of those items is meeting 100% of the Walmart style guides, which are being created according to the shopper behavior. Walmart is working hard to create these and has been for a long time.
Did they, in our meeting today, there's thousands?
Yeah, there's like thousands, and they keep rolling them out. It's not going to slow down. That's what I'm talking about, right, Paul? It's not going to slow down. It's not.
It's getting more complex. If anything, it's getting more. Exponentially more complex as it goes.
Yeah, it's going to get even more and more complex. You know, and then the style guy or the
like, you're gonna have to replace me with a robot in about 10 years.
Maybe so, Paul.
Paul, we'll name it Paul though.
Yeah, we will.
As long as I'm the guy replacing me, that's fine. Yeah. I'll manage a robot.
Yeah,
yeah, it'll be robot Paul instead of human Paul.
And the quality scores are just measuring that compliance. You know, and so Walmart is actually trying to help by creating these things, Look, Walmart's got the toughest job, I think, in the world. I mean, greater than any other business I know. How do you make sure that every shopper across the entire globe in every walk of life can get their product the most convenient and seamless way possible without friction? That's a hard challenge. Mm-hmm. And so all part of this is they're building these things in this catalog, and they're saying, hey, brand or product, we need this information for that product, and we're going to be watching to see if you have it in the catalog, and if you don't, this is a score, so that way you know what you need to improve.
Yeah, I just have one last question, and just so Paul, you said that we've been seeing some success with some of our clients. What has been Walmart's response? I know that we've been showing Walmart what we've been doing and how it's helped other brands. What is Walmart thinking about all this?
The responses I've seen have largely been at the merchant level, and it's been gratitude is maybe a way to put it. Of, you know, hey, this content health score that we've been dealing with, all the content is something that, to Eric's earlier point, like, this is not the meat and potatoes of what these people's job is and how they drive their businesses. It is something that needs to get done at a foundational level that is really hairy. And so us coming in and taking care of it and being like, hey, you need this to be 95% quality score. You need this to be style guide compliant. It's done. We did it. We're maintaining it. Here's the proof. Here are the results. Have kind of been like, you can like see the weight lift from people. Just being like, oh, finally. All right. Like, let's get down to it. Let's deepen this partnership. So that's what I've seen.
I agree.
How about you, Eric?
No, I think both brands and the merchants are actually on the same page. I want to move on, right, and get back to
what needs to happen. Yeah, for sure.
We'll move on. But the reality is that if I'm a brand and I got 500 products at Walmart, but then I'm Walmart and I have 320 million of these products on, in the digital ecosystem, I mean, it's a daunting task on both sides, right? But, I mean, I think it's about coming together, and that's where we're trying to just get in the middle of this. I mean, honestly, that's what we got ourselves in the middle of this. And we're, and I mean, you know, Paul is gracious enough to recognize that, wait a minute, you know, he's running this program. He knows he has that knowledge, and he knows how to use the tools, and he knows why. Most important reason is why these things are needed, and that keeps driving that perspective and that vision so that you continue to do excellent work and you continue to evolve that. And so good job, Paul, and thank you for caring about this stuff. And it's complicated and digging in. I mean, you live it, right? He lives in this program.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this program. I'm the sacrificial lamb. I care about all this, and so that other people don't have to.
There you go.
That's right, Paul. You are CEP, and CEP is you.
Is you.
Your identity is 100% wrapped up into this program.
That's great. I know we said that was your last question, but I have one more. And so what about maintaining the content? So yeah, you go and you fix it the first time around, but since everything seems to be changing all the time, you basically have to like not only live it once, but live it all the time and make sure that catalogs stay up to date and you maintain everything, correct?
Yeah, it is a nonstop effort. And just to give you an idea of like what that means, people are like, oh, you put it up there, it's a computer, once you set it, it stays forever, right? That's how things should work. And the answer is like, yeah, that's probably how they should work. And it's certainly not how they do work. So we had a set of 100 items that we were taking a look at, and we kind of were using this to study this. They were like, well, how often do you have to go back in and change something? Just, you know, this random set of 100 items. And we ended up over the course of a month having to go in after we had fixed all the content and retouch up about 30 different things for those items. So
that's crazy.
I don't think that's, I mean, that's high. We don't see that all the time, but it just gives you the idea of like, there's a lot of stuff moving around. It's not as simple as, you know, you hit the submit button and it stays there. Like, no, 30% of these items are going to have to get touched in the next couple months to make sure they're maintaining the presence that you want.
So you're just going to live CEP forever.
Yeah.
Don't come up with any more ideas, Eric. Yeah,
no, I'm not. That's who Paul is. We've already discussed this is who Paul is
Paul
now.
Paul is, yeah.
It turns.
It's not going to change.
Yeah. I'm never going to die. This is it. This is all I
live.
Good. Never going to die. He's never going to change. Never going to get old. No. Just be doing this forever.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Paul, for your sacrifice.
I got another analogy, Brooke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Last one.
We're like your attorney.
Oh, yeah?
You know how like if you have a married couple and they're trying to split up and they can't get along and they can't get things figured out, they hire an attorney.
Attorneys to mediate
attorneys
for them.
To mediate for them. We are mediators.
We're going to mediate Walmart content.
It's not that people can't, but I mean, like, it's not that folks aren't getting along. It's the fact that you know, we've studied the law. We know the law. We know how to position this. We know what the rules are. And we go in and make it happen.